Welcome to the Freemasons Podcast, coming to you live from Morningstar Lodge number 47. Leave your aprons at the door, my brothers. You are.
Nice.
Hello and welcome to the Freemasons Podcast with your hosts, Ray, Worshipful Brother George and Marjorie.
Worshipful Brother Joe.
And Worshipful Brother Ken.
We're up here, episode 209, and we are doing the Ginger Strikes Back, the Star Wars and Freemasons connection, if there may be one. We are going to explore it. I have a great article from a brother, Tim Hogan.
Oh,
about it.
Good.
And we're going to read that, and we're going to kind of go through that. And Joe is dressed like, I don't know.
It's like half Chewbacca, half Ben Kenobi here and shit.
This is my leftover Jesus costume from the Yanks.
Santa sabotage.
The canceled Easter thing that got pulled after the calamity known as the
Santa sabotage.
But yeah, so I figured I'd recycle it as a little bit of a Jedi thing.
Nice. Sounds good.
Yeah.
What do we say? Let's do some general housekeeping first.
Grab my lightsaber if you want to touch it.
Jesus Christ.
What?
I see.
Nine inches long, unicorn hair core. Oh, no, that's Harry Potter.
Let's do some general housekeeping. Ken.
Yeah. All right. So over on Instagram, this one, you're going to love this one, Joe. Better than Joe's bean soup. Chance Wayne Thompson.
Yep.
Aaron DeLay and Mark Namiya. Thank you, friends and brothers.
That's freaking awesome.
Yeah, I know like who that is. Garrett.
Garrett the Barbarian.
I've got a bad feeling about this.
Yeah. Anyway, we don't have any Apple reviews, and I think that's all we got. So, Joe.
Yes.
Lead it.
All right. Brothers, right hand to arms.
Oh, wait. I am okay. Completely unprepared.
Oh, Jesus.
I am sorry. I probably should have said something earlier. I clean them. I don't fill them.
That's fair enough.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Obi-Wan.
You're welcome.
You were my only hope, and now my cannon is charged and aligned thanks to you.
All right, Joe.
Have at it.
Brothers, right hand to arms.
To arms.
Ready.
Ready.
Aim. Fire, good fire, fire all. Together, brothers.
Vivat. Way better without the Death Eater mask on this time.
Yes.
Yeah, we're back in the flow.
I told
now.
You, it's all about the peripheral vision, man.
Yeah. All right. So how do we want to do this? You want me to read this article first?
Yeah, why don't you read your article?
Start with
first.
The article, and then we'll go from there. And this can be found on sanpedromasons.org.
Okay.
And this is Star Wars Mythological Origins by Timothy Hogan.
Oh, we know him.
We do know him.
Friend of the show.
Yep. So let's get it started here. It has been the subject of many Masonic historians and authors over the centuries to seek the origins and the elements of the Masonic ritual and to look at the myths, symbols, and ritual practices of cultures of societies of past ages in an attempt to understand how the rituals of Freemasonry came to be. This is true. We do this on a daily basis, I think, right?
On the regular.
The efforts of speculative Freemasons have usually traced some kind of initiatic origin to the rites and practices of ancient Egyptians or the philosophical and religious ideas of ancient India and China, and then tracing these ideas through Grecian, Elysian, Roman, and sometimes
Grecian.
Mm-hmm.
Like the formula you put in your hair.
There you go.
You guys are stupid. Druidic channels and comparing them to biblical narratives from the Torah and New Testament with further exploration into Kabbalistic, Gnostic, and alchemical ideas that influence groups like the Knights Templar of Europe One need only explore the works of Pike and Mackey to see these winding exploration through history. I'm reading pretty good today.
Yeah, you're doing amazingly well.
Yeah, actually. Right? I'll be damned. It's all right. Even a broke-ass clock is right twice a day.
I seem better.
It's all right.
Brother Lee Musikov on comment feed said that either Joe or I should read, so I guess George is just feeling inspired and...
Lee's just happy that we're going to be talking about Wookiees.
Yeah, exactly. No. Yeah, he seems stoked about this one.
Well, because he's like hairy like one.
In the 20th century, a new form of creating mythological stories came into being with the film industry by projecting light into what is going on down the road there.
I don't know. What do we see?
Looks like a geriatric parade. Anyway, by projecting light onto a wall, stories can be told and experienced by the viewers in a manner similar to drama of a play. Consequently, movies were made. Like the Shakespeare plays of ages past, many modern movies contain ideas and symbolism of past myths in different cultures, which are just retold in new forms. It's true. It's kind of what happens. So you get a story, and it gets retold, and anybody who listens to my Lost Book of Enki will appreciate that.
Yeah, and you also have that kind of like we talked about in the last episode, that hero's journey, right? That archetypal, there's like certain aspects that are entertaining to the human mind, and you know, it's been, these themes have been rehashed and reused, and you know, came up in Harry Potter, came up in Star Wars, you see it in the Odyssey.
It's like the never-ending story.
Yeah, just keeps going on and on.
I knew that was coming. I freaking knew that was coming. It should not be surprising in this light, then, to understand the many elements in the ancient myths were also incorporated into Freemasonic ritual in ages past, and that certain themes and symbols that are in Freemasonry were likewise incorporated into modern films. We know this. Among modern films that contain a number of ideas and themes can also be found in Masonry are those of the Star Wars franchise. In this article, I will attempt to show the origin of some symbols and themes found in the Star Wars movies, and then show how these same symbols and themes can likewise be found in Freemasonry. I cannot wait, Mr. Hogan. I will not retell the entire Star Wars plot, as it falls upon the readers to watch the Star Wars films for themselves in order to understand the context and ideas I will be exploring. Likewise, as a warning to those who haven't watched the Star Wars film, this article can give away spoilers to the plot of Star Wars.
Mm. I think in essence what he's saying is, I have the high ground!
Yeah. And what rock were you living under where this might be a spoiler show for you? But anyway, we'll disclaim it anyway.
Worship Brother Joe Schultz, George is reading very well. Is the article written in Cran? As a matter of fact, yes, it is. Rose art. All right.
Thank you, Brother Timothy, for not using words that are too big for like, outside of his lexicon.
Oh, wait. I haven't finished the article yet.
Yeah, don't worry.
I hope he threw some Easter eggs in there for us.
Central to the Star Wars story is the idea that there is a binding conscience energy field that surrounds and penetrates all things called the Force. True. This is what Masons believe. We have an all-seeing or a grand architect that we believe created and designed, which is... I guess kind of central to the Fellowcraft degree, Joe? Part of the ritual, would you say?
Yeah.
Part of the middle chamber lecture, in a sense?
Yep.
I don't remember any telepathy or force pushing. Though,
no, but talking about how all things are binded by together.
That was done with the goat.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah, no, I see where you're going with that. That makes sense. That was done with the goat.
Nice. The origins of many of the quotes from the Star Wars movie in which the force is described can be found in the works like Tao Te Ching. And in fact, the force is in line with what has been called the Tao, ether, and the all in other philosophical systems of ages past. Tao, we use that in the what the hell is the triple Tao? Triple Tao. That's
Royal Arch.
Royal Arch degrees. That's so. Yeah.
I mean, and the all is in the Kybalion. Yes. The all is everything. Everything is the all.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tao might be a slightly different concept, though. They might be talking about a different Tao.
Well, again, he was saying that it could be found in the works like Tao Te Ching. In fact, the force is in line with what is being called Tao. So,
yeah. Maybe that's
where the Tao Eastern came origin. From.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't really think we talk about the ether, but neither here nor there. The energy has its various attributes in which many cultures of ages past, which can be found under names like Nos, Qi, Chi, Otic Force, Viril, Ying, Yang, and others names. Some have looked to Albert Pike's ideas about force in his Morals and Dogma as another way of describing this energy. I will not provide Pike quotes about the force in this article, but I will encourage anybody to read Morals and Dogma. Good luck with that shit.
Yeah, exactly.
In which Pike's ideas of the force are elaborated on. And yes, it is in a sense, he does speak on one of the chapters. Don't quote me which one. But he speaks about the everything, the energy, is I think is the word he used, that binds everything together. Like, what's holding this counter together besides nail screws and... You know, what's holding all...
Atomic force.
All right, freaking Bill Nye, the science guy. Right? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a there's an unseen force that keeps things in its shape. Otherwise, we would just, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Natural law.
Yeah, but what controls natural law?
Ah.
Bingo.
Yeah. Okay.
The force.
The force.
It's made of all living things.
Like, I central
flows
to this.
Through us and... Binds the universe together. So I don't know the quote.
Yeah, that's like pretty much.
I'm going to keep my mouth shut. Joel,
crayon. What did I say wrong? I said
you
crayon.
You said crayon or something whatever. Crazy like that, like graham cracker or something.
Maybe Joe and Ken have been pre-screening and rewriting the articles phonetically.
You know, we haven't, but we really should. We really should.
The Schwartz. That's PSK Auto. Oh, hello. Then
let there be light.
It's as if a million Discordians cried out in one and were suddenly silenced.
What an asshole.
I think Likewise, Danny Collins is our Darth Vader.
I think so.
Yeah, he's more like a general.
More like
Grievous.
The Emperor.
With the Emperor.
All right, and then that would make Devaney the Darth Vader.
Right. Likewise, central to the theme of Star Wars are the characters who seek to understand and utilize this force who go by the name of Jedi. The Jedi Knight is a warrior monk who utilizes and tries to maintain order by being in harmony with the force. Here we go.
Kind of like Joe.
We're working on...
Like warrior monk. I'm a warrior monk.
Yeah, I think, personally, we're kind of working on the Knights Templar at this point.
Yeah, warrior there monks. There are some things there, yeah.
Warrior monks. They had their own little... They were a sect of, if you think about it, they were a group.
They were a religion.
They were a religion, one, in the movies. Yeah. Two, they didn't actually work with the quote-unquote government, right? They didn't work with Palpatine. They didn't work for Palpatine. They were separate that kept the peace and harmony and all that stuff.
Yep.
And they didn't really report to the, Emperor Palpatine. Well, we didn't know he was Emperor at the time.
The Chancellor or whatever.
They kind of did their own thing.
And they
kind
had swords.
Of similar to the Knights Templar, right. Who worked with swords.
Yeah, they got swords.
And then, in Revenge of the Sith, when the Emperor came to power, one of the first things he did was to send out to kill all the Jedi. Much
correct.
Like,
Philip the Fair.
Yep.
Like any good fascist
or
would.
Philip the Fair and the Pope.
And the Pope, yeah. Right. Yeah. But that was the first thing they did.
Right. So I see some symbols, and that's what I was kind of saying. I see more.
Was that Order 66?
Execute Order 66.
Yeah, that one.
Let's see here. The Jedi seems to balance his physical and spiritual energies in a manner similar to the symbolism behind the square and compasses in Freemasonry. Okay, I can make that correlation.
Makes sense.
I would more compare it to Knights Templar, because Knights Templar, again, was a warrior, and I'm talking about ancient Knights Templar. They were a warrior society that were deeply pious, and they balanced, you know, being pious, with also kicking some ass, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm.
They had rules of chivalry that, like, codes of conduct and so forth, and your Jedi absolutely did.
And according to the interwebs, the word Jedi is derived from a Hebrew word which means beloved by God.
Oh. Interesting.
Yeah. Wow.
You're doing your work.
I did do some work.
The idea of the Jedi Knight comes from the Knights Templar, that's like I just said, which in fact were both monks and warriors. The Templar theme runs through Star Wars. The Templars are featured in the higher degrees of all rites of Freemasonry, to include York Rite, Scottish Rite, Swedish, and Rectified systems.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the Rectified systems is. I never heard that.
It might have been an English thing. I mean, it's, we do love our Knights Templar.
Did they pull that out of their rectum?
No, rectified, as in...
Use the force.
As in fixed.
Use the force.
Which is why it makes me think it's from the, you know, United Grand Lodge of England, because they had that whole, you know, schism that they had to rectify. So I would assume that's where it...
By the way, Schism was a great Star Trek episode. One of my favorites.
Oh, yeah, that is a great one.
Mm-hmm. All right. The idea behind warriors who follow a spiritual code can be found going back to all ages in history, but certainly the Templars are the most recent expression of them, true, with many Masonic historians tracing the origins of modern Freemasonry to different Templar strains that survived their persecution by the Roman Catholic Church in 1307. We just talked about them. Mm-hmm. One of the origins of the European model of spiritual chivalry can be found in the myths and legends of the ancient Celtic traditions. And it is in these Celtic traditions that we likewise find the key to the myths that unlock the story that was utilized for the Star Wars film. Interesting. Yeah, okay. In ancient Celtic myths and traditions, the first chivalric tradition, which is similar to what is found in Star Wars, is the Red Branch of Ulster, also known as the Red Branch Knights, in which is believed to have historically been one of the models for King Arthur's Round Table Knights, and some say Templars themselves. The Red Branch of Ulster is likely also the model for the rebel fleet in Star Wars, known as the Red Brigade. Interesting. Which Luke Skywalker becomes part of. Understanding this basis, let us look at some further Celtic mythological elements that can be found in Star Wars and also compare... similar elements in Freemasonry. All right, so now we're getting into it here.
Luke was what, Red Leader? Was he Red Leader? Or
he
red
was Red One, I
red
think.
One, red okay. Five.
Was he
whatever.
Red Five?
Red Five.
Red something or other.
Good God, no, what I kind thought, of Star Wars
I thought you? Red Five was the guy whose name is actually Porkins.
Porkins, oh guy. Yeah, the chubby guy that got wasted, yeah. He was the first one that died, I think.
Okay, I'll trust you.
I think
Joe
red
is
five.
Red One.
Come on, look it up. Look it up. Hashtag look it up.
Nobody's listening to me.
What was that, Ken?
I said heard. Joe is red one. Oh. You're my red one.
Better than red number two.
Yeah, that's right.
I would have went with two.
You have to go see a doctor of that.
Shit.
Isn't there like a... Okay, so you look at the Galactic Empire symbol. You look at the Rebel symbol. Like some of those symbols, those logos that are used throughout the Star Wars sagas, some of those have like some kind of Celtic kind of style. Did I just... blow up your
No. Luke Anderson. His name is Luke, so he's got to be right. It says Red Leader is correct.
Oh, okay.
So I thought it was Red Five.
Well, Joe wins this round.
Anakin actually...
All right, come on. Let's.
Anakin flew as Red Five in a number of battles, so there you go.
Let's stay on target.
Yeah, stay on target.
Don't get giddy on me, kid.
Porkins couldn't stay on target.
In the film Star Wars, the main character, Luke Skywalker, has his hand cut off by his father, Darth Vader, also referred to as Vader. And then his hand is replaced with a metal working hand. This is from the Celtic myth of Nuada. Nuada? Nuada? Yeah, whatever. We'll go with it. Nuada is the first king of the Thuthin di Dan. Oof, my God. He was also known as Argiletam. Meaning
so here we go, Ken, with the moment we've been waiting for.
Meaning silver hand. Size, you didn't have to wait long. I was doing good. I was on a roll.
These are not the words you're looking for.
In both stories, the new metal hand replaces the original and helps aid them in their battles ahead. Without revealing Masonic secrets, this cutting off of the hand is something that is likewise found in the penalties of Freemasonry.
If you look in the right place.
As particularly found in the York Rite. Okay. Yes, there is. Yep, there okay. Go. Yep, that is true. Nuada is known for having a special flaming sword of light that he used to try and stop a lesser dark king named Bress, who works for an overlord king named Balor. However, Nuada was not successful in stopping Bress or Balor, so the job fell to one of his students, Lug, who likewise inherited Nuada's flaming sword of light. Interesting. I don't know.
Wow,
about,
that sounds very similar to Luke inheriting his father's lightsaber.
Yeah.
But he didn't. Oh, yes, he did. That's right. The green one.
He got
it
from...
No, the blue with the original blue one.
Obi-Wan Kenobi gave it.
Oh, right. Yeah.
He's then like, don't hurt yourself with this kid.
A weapon for a more civilized
age. Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to tell you how to use it. Just take this laser sword.
Like,
and
it's basically like what the deleted scene in Return of the Jedi was when he says, yeah, I see you have a new lightsaber. He's like, yeah, your old one was a piece of shit. I threw it away.
Actually, he dropped it when he freaking chopped his arm off.
Yeah.
Ah, fair point.
But it's like, I always laughed about that after the... Revenge of the Sith came out. Oh, this is your father's lightsaber. Mm-hmm. And it's like he's missing the... And he killed all those little younglings.
Yeah, exactly.
With it.
It's got the blood of 1,000 younglings upon it. But have fun. Don't cut yourself.
This is a good omen. You should have it.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a good
going
point.
On, Ligarius. Off this thing, just kind of something that I was pointing out, you could actually see the initiatic experience in the three original movies. You have Luke as basically a kid,
yeah,
full of adventure. Yeah. The second one, so that would be your EA, my opinion.
Yep. Yeah.
Second one is a fellow craft. He's got a little bit more knowledge. He knows about the Force. He is not a Jedi Master.
Mm. By Return
funny
of
how
the
they
Jedi.
Use the word Jedi Master, yeah. But he's a fellow craft in a sense.
Yeah.
He knows a little bit of shit, but he still got his ass kicked.
If you rush off to meet Vader now, I cannot help you.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, that'd be a fellow craft, and then you have your, in a sense, your Master Mason, yeah, where Return of the Jedi. He's also a Jedi
Knight. So ha ha ha. When he comes back in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, he's a Jedi Knight.
Yeah.
I would argue that Return of the Jedi is like fellow craft Luke, because that's manhood, and then age would be Last Jedi.
Okay.
However, you could go that.
You also look at the progression.
Yeah, because he's a past master.
He's all bitter and pissed off.
That makes sense.
That's not how he swung a lightsaber in my day. Mm-hmm. Anyway. But I think in with the exception of Rogue One that came out of nowhere.
Rogue One's one of the best ones of them all.
I know, yeah, but I'm saying it came out of nowhere. It was
And Solo, don't forget.
But let's go with the first three. Let's go with the first three movies. So that'd be your clone. What is it? Attack of the Clones.
The first three meaning
chronologically
one?
Or
not chronologically. The first three meaning the prequel
Menace,
that came out.
Yeah, the Phantom Menace.
Phantom Menace.
Attack of the Clones, which is unwatchable, and Revenge of the Sith.
Okay, so but you could also see Anakin doing those three initiatic experiences as well. For instance, in the first one, he's a little ass kid.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Second one, he's a Padawan learner, I believe he was called.
And the third one, he kills a bunch.
Third
of children.
One, he turned into a Master Mason, but he turned. He fell to the dark side.
Yeah. He did not subdue his passions. He,
you know.
And just so you know, another little tidbit, word bubble here. Padawan is a derivative of the Sanskrit and Bengali word Padua, which means one who studies or learns.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
That's cool.
So,
The more you know.
I mean, yeah. I guess I would have to go with the Last Jedi is a definitely Passmaster. He.
However,
Skywalker took the actual Passmaster degree.
However, yeah, you could say the Last Jedi being Luke's ultimate passage through there, because he does undergo what in essence is a symbolic death, because he comes back as the Force.
Mike Lupo, he was not given the rank of Master. You're right, he was not. He was actually, I think it was a...
Who, Luke or Anakin?
Neither, technically.
Yeah. Neither, if you really think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, really, Luke didn't have anybody to say, you're good to go.
Well,
but then again, neither did...
He became a Jedi Master when he taught...
Anakin, he says. Anakin.
Oh, he's talking about Anakin. Okay, yes. Yeah. True.
We afford you a seat on the council, but you will not be given the rank of master.
That's
this
jealousy.
Is outrageous.
Yeah, that's the jealousy that starts off the whole.
It's kind of like the bullshit that happened to me when I became a district deputy.
It's actually like me
turned evil too.
It's actually like me being an AJ. We will give you
are a district deputy, but we don't recognize you as district deputy.
Yeah.
We will give you the purple apron, but we will not afford you the title of right worshipful.
George,
that's me right now,
striking down young Masons.
Anyway,
strike me down, and I will become.
I'm not
going
to go down that road. I'm not going down that freaking road. That's a dark path for me to start going.
Does
on
this
that
actually expand that lightsaber? Does it like?
Yeah.
Can you like?
Yeah, but it needs a little blue pill.
Give it a flip.
If it's Joe's, it needs a little blue pill.
Yep.
See.
I got a
point made.
Use some force.
Use the force. Okay.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, you make your own. You can make your own sound.
All right.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. It's got like a USB port on the bottom. Though.
I couldn't bring my. I didn't want to bring my good ones.
Okay, I'm gonna put this away before I start knocking over bottles.
Please
and
don't.
Stuff.
Let's continue on with the Celtic stories. Nuada has his hand cut off by a king named Bress, who worked with. Did I read this? Yes, I did.
Yes, you did.
I didn't.
I thought you did.
No.
I'm sorry.
Where the hell was I? Let's try this again. We were talking about Lou and the Flaming Light, the f- The flaming sword of light is something that we also find in the story of the Garden of Eden, in which in the Torah, in which flaming swords of light guard Eden. Interesting.
What archangel had that sword?
Michael.
Was it Michael that had the flaming sword?
I think he did have. I think it was Michael.
And that shows up in Genesis there too.
Yes.
Yeah. Dig it.
There you go. There you go. Thinking we're devil worshippers.
Can you dig it?
Yeah.
St. Michael.
Amazingly. Yeah, amazingly we read the Bible.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Amazingly. Even though the best part is it's part of the book of Enoch, but.
Is it?
Y'all need Jesus.
Yeah.
Esoteric Masonic traditions of the past have associated this flaming sword with the word, and in some 18th degree rituals for the Scottish Rite, this flaming sword is still used. Interesting. Oh, it is. Oh, we dipped in shit.
Which degree? Which
18th? They say the 18th degree, but it is in the Scottish Rite, but I don't know if they're talking about northern or southern Masonic jurisdiction, but there is
Brother
a
Tim
York
Hogan
Rite.
Is
that,
northern.
Is it in the Knight of the Brazen Serpent?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
I
flaming sword?
So. Yeah, I think so.
I remember because the prop for it was fucking terrible.
Knight of the Brazen. What was the name of the
serpent? Serpent.
Wow, Knight of the Brazen Serpent?
I believe it's Brazen.
I believe it is too.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, but I remember seeing the prop for it. It was a sword, and they just basically took paper, and they just... Somebody made, like, flames out of paper, and they colored it in with crayon.
Yeah, you got to light that sword on fire.
Yeah.
I'm bringing a lightsaber to the next one.
There you go. Let me get back into this then. So it's talking about the 18th degree of Scottish Rite, which I'm not sure if it is, because our 18th degree is a rose quoi.
Well, I think Brother Tim Hogan might be in Southern Masonic jurisdiction.
I believe so.
Yeah.
In other quasi-Masonic systems like Martinism, I have no idea. It was like Martin Sheen, Martin Short.
No, Martinism is very similar to Rosicrucianism.
Interesting.
Very similar.
It is during the first degree that the new initiate receives a sword of light, which is emblematical of the word in Freemasonry. The candidate of the first degree is received on a sharp implement. True. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In which many lodges in different cultures is actually in the form of a sword. We just use a shiv. We're a prison.
I've been told we're not allowed to.
Right. I've seen it used as a sword, but in our jurisdiction, we're usually...
Our lodge, you walk in, it's like...
The Grand Lodge of Connecticut frowns on any weapon, offensive or defensive, within the lodge and the ritual, so we've been told we couldn't use a sword or dagger for that.
Yeah.
Josh McCray's Spaceballs was better than Star Wars. Yeah, I said it. I need no fight. I need no need to fight facts.
I mean, I really like Spaceballs for a different reason.
Yeah. Is it because you have the beeps, the jeeps, and the creeps?
Yeah.
The what?
Yeah. Beep, boop, beep. I can't do the sound effects, man. I wish I could. That guy is just, he's a legend.
Yes. So anyway, let's get back into this. So the candidate is received in the sword in a similar manner. Luke receives the sword at the start of his journey for the Star Wars. Luke Skywalker begins his studies under Obi-Wan, which he receives a lightsaber in many ways. Nuada is the model for Obi-Wan, and Lou is the model for Luke, which, interesting, Lou, L-U-G-H. And then you have Luke, which sounds somewhat similar, I guess. And Luke inherits a lightsaber from Obi-Wan in the same manner that Lou receives his flaming sword from Nuada. The only difference here is that Luke gets his hand cut off by Vader instead of Obi-Wan. Interesting.
Pretty cool.
I'm going to skip past all this, and I want to get into more of the Freemason part of it.
I wonder if George Lucas was influenced by any of this, or whether it's...
Oh, abso-frickin-lutely.
You think so?
Absolutely.
Yeah, he studied a lot of...
ancient myths
ancient
and
mythology,
stuff.
Yeah, okay. And built his story around that, because like you had alluded to earlier, there's certain things that are just... kind of imprinted in humans to interest them, and that story of that hero's journey and myths are just one of those things that... are just kind of we're programmed to react to.
Way to go, George Lucas.
Yeah. Mm.
Did your homework, bro.
All right. So this is actually something else I brought up here. And this is midnightfreemasons.org. They did a whole thing. It's the Midnight Masons, and it's five things you never thought of between Freemasonry and Star Wars. And
we're reading a lot of their articles lately.
Yeah.
Give it a shot. We did it for Harry Potter, too.
Harry Potter!
There we go. I'm not saying George Lucas borrowed Masonic ideas, though he may have. I'm saying that there are certain effable ineffable truths in which speak to the human soul, to which both Star Wars and Freemasonry allude.
We'll agreed.
Explore agreed there. Yep. Five such allusions.
Yep.
The first one is called Anakin, Luke, and Hiram as the Master Craftsman. Okay. All right. We'll go with this. Let's see where they go here.
Yeah.
When we first meet Anakin and Luke, we learn that they are both very mechanically inclined. Anakin builds C-3PO from junk parts. Luke repairs him. When we first see the droid, he is without skin. R2-D2 comments that he is naked. When we finally get skin, it is tarnished brass. Later in the story, he receives gold skin as a gift from Padme. The Hiram that we meet in the Bible is the son of the widow sent to cast the bronze furnishing of the temple. In 2 Chronicles 13 through 14, he says, he is said to be skilled in the work of gold and silver, bronze and iron, stone and wood, purple and blue, fine linen and crimson, and to make any engravings to the accomplish any plan which may be given him. Interesting. If we, like Vitruvius, interpret the temple to be representative of the human body. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm seeing what you're doing. Okay.
Death Star as the unfinished temple. The monad, or point within a circle, has always been a symbol of the creative principle. The Death Star mirrors this, although it is elusive of the destructive principle. How can one symbol mean two things? In Kings 8:63, we learn that 22,000 oxen and 20,000 sheep and goats were sacrificed to dedicate the temple to the Lord. The Death Star was designed to serve as a symbol of the strength of the empire. Mm-hmm. It was employed to sacrifice planets in the service of maintaining an order in the galaxy. There are the unfurnished temple and the unfinished Death Star, two sides of the same coin. Interesting.
Yeah, I never really thought about that.
That's interesting. Well, that's what it says. Five things you wouldn't think of.
Yeah. You guys are right.
All
right.
Let's try this one. Darth Vader is the tragic hero. Joe is just a tragic hero.
We're reading the comments again. We got to stop doing that. Danny Collins said that y'all built me in the basement of Morningstar. It's like C-3PO was constructed by Anakin, I guess.
Do you speak Bocce?
I speak many things.
It's like a second language.
The something language of moisture convert, evaporator. Yes. Do that too.
Fucking word. Whatever you that need. Goddamn word. I hate that word.
What, moisture?
Ah!
Yeah.
It's moist. Get over it.
Stop being such a baby.
Moist.
It rakes my skin like chili does to you.
Like Duncan Hines cake. It's very moist.
Darth Vader is the tragic hero. George Lucas has gone on record proclaiming Anakin as the hero in Star Wars. He is a hero in the tragic sense. He earns redemption through sacrificing himself for his son. Where is the parallel in Freemasonry? Preston included many literal allusions in his lectures. Among these is a reference to Hamlet's famous
soliloquy.
Hamlet is one of the best known tragic heroes in literature. To be or not to be?
That is the question.
It's a stretch.
By Harold Hecuba.
Stretch.
Somebody will get that.
The Broken Column.
Not me.
The Schultz brothers will get Harold Hecuba.
Okay. Is that like a reference in that hockey movie or something that you guys love so much?
No, it saves
Slap
the show.
Shot or
no,
whatever.
It's actually a reference to Gilligan's Island where Harold Hecuba got stuck on the island and they put on a performance of Hamlet.
My nose is freaking itchy.
Stop doing the call.
Broken Column. In Freemasonry, we see the Broken Column as a symbol of the fragile state of our moral coil. In Star Wars, we see the symbol in the use of the Bacta tank.
Oh, yes, the Bacta tank.
Both Darth Vader and Luke are seen broken and floating in healing fluid. Is this a symbol of our humanity?
I guess, but what does it have to do with Freemasonry?
It's almost,
see, this is why,
well,
I'm sorry.
It's symbolic of a rebirth because you're kind of in a almost like an embryotic fluid type.
Yeah.
Being rejuvenated. Healed.
I don't mean to sound like the frickin' ace here, but I don't mean to be an asshole about this, but like, I don't know. I have a hard time with the Midnight Freemasons thing. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, guys. I apologize, brothers.
Some things,
I mean, they come up good, but then other things are just, I feel like it's a stretch.
No, I like what they're trying to do here.
I can appreciate it, but I'm not buying it. This is one more, Masonic Minute, which is interesting. Jedis and Freemasons, the oldest fraternity in the world. Interesting. Never would have thought of that.
Jedis are the oldest fraternity in the world.
That's what they say in the movie, right?
No, they actually oldest have fraternity of women and females and many species.
No, order. Not what I meant.
Oh,
damn it. It's just one of the oldest orders in the galaxy, right? Isn't that the Jedi Order they always talk about? It's like the oldest in the galaxy.
Ancient. It's ancient.
Yeah.
Ancient, whatever. I could see the correlation that they're making.
We accept them.
They allow women.
So here we go. Let's go through this one right here. And it basically talks about, after watching the new installment of the Star Wars Sage, I dwelled on the lore behind the Jedi Order and wanted to know more. I remember seeing a book in stories called The Jedi Path, which was a book released in the advent of prequels that detained many unspoken details of the Jedi Order, its philosophy. And okay. So and it talks about the trials to become a Jedi and to earn the right to roam without master at your side at all times.
To work and travel
there
as
we
such.
Go. The work and travel as such. All right. So all right.
I like that.
That I can get on board with. Yeah, yes. You cannot travel to another lodge, at least in this jurisdiction, and I think most of them are. But if as a fellow crafter and apprentice or quote-unquote Padawan learner, you cannot travel.
Yeah.
And you cannot act as such. You are not a master.
Yep.
Interesting.
You're
I like that one.
Orders at that point.
And it talks about the initiatic trials. And these trials of the Padawan include demonstrating knowledge of the Jedi Code. Okay. We have to learn...
Catechism. Yeah.
Yeah.
We have to learn...
Establish proficiency.
Which I have the Jedi Code here if you'd like me to read that.
Oh, but... Dude, let's just start. Yeah, then we'll have you read
let
it.
Let me know.
When you take a degree, we hand you a little coded book. And what do they say to you?
Learn it.
Or?
Die.
Jesus Christ. You don't say die. Or you can't advance to the next degree.
Right.
So, okay.
I thought we were just doing like random.
Demonstrating self-discipline.
First word that you can
which you must memorize before proceeding to the next degree.
Right.
Demonstrating self-discipline. Yeah. And then prove your connection with the Force.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I mean, that could be an allegory to our obligations.
Before embarking on any great journey, one must
profess belief in deity or
provoke the name of
invoke the name
read
of
the Jedi Code. Let's hear it.
It is, there is no emotion, there is peace. There is no ignorance, there is knowledge. There is no passion, there is serenity. There is no chaos, there is harmony.
Oh.
There is no death, there is the Force.
Okay, so
So
harmony.
There's no emotion. Subdue your passions.
Subdue your passions. We're talking about harmony, which you know.
There's no ignorance. There's only knowledge. So it's the essential part of Freemasonry is the search for knowledge.
Yep.
Correct.
Again, no passion. There is serenity. So again, referring to subduing the passions. There is no chaos. You know, order from chaos is
ordo ab chao
is a big part of it. And there is harmony. Harmony being the strength and support of all society.
Awesome.
More
Ken's
especially
lodge.
Of ours. And also my lodge. Yeah.
And there is no death. There is the Force. So there is no true death. There is only a mortal death to which then you become part of the Force.
Yeah. If you also compare that
ghost.
To...
Search your feelings. You know it to be true.
Yeah. If you compare that to the tragedy of the third, I mean, he died. He was raised.
Have you ever been told about... Tragedy of Darth Plagueis the Wise.
Oh, God.
I have not.
Jesus Christ.
I have a feeling you're going to tell us anyway, though.
The path itself, as in Freemasonry, the Jedi Order is made up of three levels. There we go. The Initiatic, the Padawan, and the Jedi Knight.
Oh.
What the hell is the difference between the Jedi Knight and Jedi Master?
What about Jedi Master?
Time out. I have to jump in here because as I'm like just making funny comments about, are you familiar with the Tragedy of Darth Plagueis the Wise?
Mm-hmm.
That's actually a... quote from at the time Chancellor Palpatine to Anakin in a way to unlock the true secrets and powers of the Force.
The dark side?
So...
Because Darth Plagueis turns to the dark side, right?
Correct.
Yeah,
and that's who Palpatine killed to become the lead Sith in the Rule of Two. But it's, in essence, he's saying... I must teach you the tragedy of, you know, it's Darth Plagueis, but let's just say tragedy of the wise man in order for you to reach the true secrets and powers of fill in the blanks Freemasonry.
Right, right, right.
So you have to go through that tragedy of the third degree before the secrets of Freemasonry, all the secrets of Freemasonry are open to you.
Which is, okay, all right.
How about that? Mm.
So did they write about that in Midnight Freemasons? I don't think they did. I think you should write your own paper on this, Joe.
All right.
Joe Schultz.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I love
you, skipping
brother.
Over it. Jedi Knight is designed, is a designation of the full member of the Jedi Order. After completion of instruction by the Jedi Master, the Padawan goes through the trials mentioned earlier to complete their training. Only when they are able to become a Jedi Knight and can take on full membership role in the Order. That's pretty much us. Mm-hmm. You're not a full member until you're a Master Mason.
You're not allowed to vote. So if you think about it, think of the Jedi Knight as almost the fellow craft, and there's certain trials that you go through symbolically in the third degree before you can achieve the title of Master Mason.
Correct.
Right.
Let's go on to the next one here. It says, the Jedi Masters, or how we may see mentors, past masters, and officers within a lodge. Oh, here we go. Jedi Masters. Here we go. Yep. Past masters. Pissed off all the time. That's how they end up being Sith. Act as the governing body of the Jedi Order as its senior members. They are responsible for deciding how the Jedi are to be trained and work with each other to keep the Order running smoothly.
A little bit different for us because the master of the lodge, the worshipful master, is kind of the de facto leader, right? I mean, as an immediate past master or a past master, you have that kind of advisory role, but you don't have governance.
Joe, while we're sitting here, can you find out how many, remember the Jedi Council? Find out how many members were sitting there. I'm interested about that, and you'll pick up what I'm putting down in a minute. Because I'm thinking about when we took our, Ken, I'm thinking about when we took our Order of the Temple.
Mm-hmm. How many knights were
signed? There you go.
Okay.
So I'm picking up. Let's see here. Where did I leave off?
Which was taken directly from Templary, which George Lucas had that similar influence.
He had to have.
I think there were 8 on the Jedi Council. I could be wrong.
I mean, if I remember correctly, it was...
I'm thinking it might be 12.
6, 9, 12. There was.
12 would be interesting, too.
Because 12 would be interesting because we talk about the reason why we have a certain amount of knights at the triangle.
It is 12.
It is 12. Okay. So
the reason... have 3 equal sides of 4.
Hold on. Mm-hmm. Hold on. This one's going to blow your mind. Boom! Here's why.
Okay, ready.
Ready? We had a certain amount of knights at the triangle. You remember, Ken?
Yes.
And it correlated with the apostles. But one fell from grace.
That's right.
Who was on the Jedi Council in Star Wars and fell from grace?
He was not afforded the rank of master, though.
But you're picking up what I'm...
anyone who was sitting on the council.
Was,
you're picking up what I'm putting down.
He was the 12th. He is included in the 12th.
All right.
Oh, yes.
And he fell from grace.
All right.
He's the Judas.
He is the Judas.
Right?
Correct.
There were also 12 fellow crafts in...
there you go.
Bingo.
Master Mason degree.
Interesting how that number correlates to how many were on the council. But anyway, let's continue. As senior members do in a lodge, however, the final say on this goes to the worshipful master in the lodge, personified in the Jedi by the Jedi Grand Master, a title bestowed on those... Interesting, he uses Grand Master... a title bestowed only on those worthy enough of governing the Order. In the context of the films, Jedi Grandmaster Yoda is the only Grandmaster mentioned in the franchise. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yoda is speculated that the name to come from this Sanskrit word Yodha, which means warrior, or the Hebrew name Yodea, meaning one who knows.
Bingo. Interesting. Let's get into the pillars. Throughout Masonry, we see many moral lessons presented in the context of architecture. Throughout ancient history, many architectural phenomenon carry religious and esoteric meaning with them. The Jedi are no different. As the Force moves all around the Jedi, the presence of the Grand Architect of the Universe presides everywhere. In Freemasonry, We recognize the cardinal virtues in the form of pillars or tenets of Freemasonry. In the context of the Jedi, the temple on Coruscant shows three pillars in front, guarding the way. Hmm. These pillars are noted as the Force, knowledge, self-discipline. So there's the three.
Okay.
Also known as...
Similar.
So let's say the Force, knowledge, and discipline. Is that what you said the three were?
The Force, knowledge, and discipline, yep.
So wisdom, strength, and beauty.
Yeah, I was just going to say, holy shit.
Of which these can be translated to Masonry is the three great lights being... Three great lights, we do go there too. The Bible, square and compasses. The Bible, there is to remind us that deity is extremely important and that deity is the Force, is important as the Jedi. Okay, so that's their deity. They're correlating the Force with being deity.
Okay.
Well, that is like the religious aspect of their order, right? Yeah, okay.
So correct.
Force equals higher power.
The square is to show us that we must be honest forthwith in everything we do, just as a Jedi must have self-discipline. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, I would even say the compasses.
I would go with the compasses. Yeah, I was just going to say that. And finally, we must use the compasses.
Your actions,
The compasses to circumscribe our desires and to keep our passions within due bounds so that we may receive the most well-rounded education that we can continue to seek a well-rounded knowledge as masters. Though we may never know whether or not George Lucas intentionally used Masonic ideals in the construction of the Jedi Order, I believe he did. I think he probably took it, not just Freemasonry. I'm going to be clear about this. We're not taking credit for shit.
Right.
But I think he probably took, when he was coming up with the Jedi Order and what they stood for and all that stuff and what their tenets were, he probably took a lot of chivalric orders and he meshed them into Knights Templar.
Freemasonry took a lot of its inspiration from probably those same orders. So I think there's a commonality, but I don't think there's, a direct... lineage.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let's see here. Kelly Blankenship, to argue semantics, seeing as how the Jewish Council, Grand Lodge, was disbanded and no longer existed at the time, does that make Luke a Galanti?
The Jewish. He means the Jedi Council. Does that make Luke a Clandy?
Yeah, Spell check is a bitch.
Oh boy.
There is no Grand Lodge anymore for Luke to be part of. So yeah, he's basically just rolling dirty, rolling Clandy.
He's more of a Mason at large.
Yeah,
he's more of a Mason at large. I wouldn't say he's a Clandy.
There just is no Grand Lodge or any lodge left anymore. But
so
yeah,
he's almost similar to like a Ronin in Japanese samurai tradition, where he's a masterless samurai.
Yeah.
Joseph Schultz, I wonder if they have chili night at the Jedi Temple.
I don't know. Ask your mom.
They do. That's just scraping the bottom of the barrel. You got better than that.
God, that was a terrible one.
What do you see on the playback? The face I made into the camera when I said it. Sorry, Joe Schultz.
So much for subduing our passions.
Yeah.
We can all be rough ashlers at times. Speaking of rough ashlers.
Oh God.
For as little as $5 a month, you can join us on Patreon and become a Discord member, where you'll receive exclusive Patreon content, access to the Discord channels, and the elusive Gold Tone Freemasons podcast pin. That is all.
But this Masonic Minute, I got to give credit, kudos to this brother. This one I actually like better than the Midnight Masons one. This goes. This is a shout out to Brother Matthew R. Ross, Battle Creek Lodge Number 12, Grand Lodge of Michigan, FNAM.
That sounds familiar. I think we have a brother either in Discord or that follows
from
us
from Battle Creek, Michigan. Yeah, Battle Creek. I remember that because there was a wrestler named Sweet Hansen that hailed from Battle Creek.
From
Michigan.
Battle Creek,
I think that's also where Kellogg's is.
Maybe, yeah.
So if you any brothers know out there, let the brother Matthew Ross know that we give him a shout out. That was a fantastic article he wrote there in that Masonic Minute.
Nicely done.
Going back, if I may, talking about how the Jedi Order was destroyed by the government and everything, do you think that has any type of play, or the government of Coruscant or the Empire or Republic, whatever you want to call it.
It was all Chancellor Palpatine, really.
But he ran the Republic.
Right.
You think there's any correlation between that and Nazi Germany and what they did to the Freemasons?
Well, you, to what they did to a lot of people.
I mean, you have this government that came off as if they were like super nice, yeah, and oh, we're here for the people and all that stuff. And
we're
they
here
ended
to
up,
protect you. That's basically there,
we're here to protect
there are
you.
Direct correlations between the empire and the Nazis, and they were actually used as a model.
That, really,
you could see it in their uniforms. They're usually gray or black.
Yep. Yeah.
The term stormtroopers came directly from
the SS.
Yeah.
Their uniforms had those high lapels.
It was definitely done in a way to invoke the imagery of Nazi Germany.
Absolutely. There you go. So now, with that being said, and that was that's a fact, I'm assuming, right? That's,
yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think Lucas has actually come right out and said
right.
that.
So now you have a order of Freemasonry that was basically, I mean, he tore open all their lodges and, you know, basically tore down the institution of Freemasonry.
I mean, it's a quasi-religious right? order, a lot like Freemasonry was. But when you think about it, that's just what fascists do, man. Like, true. Fascist governments want to, you know, upend all of that.
Just
kind
something
of stuff.
I thought about.
But
you know?
Yeah, there's definitely. I don't know if it was inspired.
Joseph Schultz, sorry, I struck a nerve. It's all make believe, and Josie still wouldn't win.
What the hell is he talking about?
Fucking chili cook off.
Oh, he's still talking about that. Okay. Yeah. Maybe he's got to come out here.
Hey, last time it was mine. This one's yours.
As Santa Claus
own
once,
it.
As Santa Claus once said, "Ask your mom if I'm real."
Bring a pot of chili up here. We'll throw down.
That's pretty good. All right, what's you got? All right, so I'm going to go off the articles here. Let's just talk just in general. What do we think? You got any other correlations or things you could see?
I think there's a natural correlation drawn just between, you know, seekers of light. Mm-hmm. You've got that kind of monastic order where the Jedi are not allowed there. They're not supposed to have any emotional ties, which kind of goes to the subdue your passions, because they felt that was a weakness if you let your emotions control you, and that would lead to where the fear leads to anger, anger leads to hate.
Yeah, and also it's a liability to
have
somebody.
To suffer.
Yeah.
Kelly Blankenship, so are the Mandalorians the Hashashin? Ooh, that's a good one.
That's actually a really good question.
It is a good
perhaps
correlation.
Perhaps we can explore as the Mandalorian. To me, the Mandalorians are kind of the Star Wars version of the Klingons.
Yeah.
With their code of honor and their warrior class type thing.
Yeah, they don't do much else except fight.
They are in essence assassins. So yeah, that would actually be we may have to do that on a
that's a good point
on a future episode.
That's a good one.
We'll have to revisit this. There's a lot there for sure.
Good point, Kelly.
I was actually trying to find in my head
plenty of room.
Guess I walked into that one, didn't I? I was trying to find what would be the three ruffians of Star Wars if Freemasonry was a influence or the Masonic story. So you got your Hiram, which is probably going to be your.
I mean, it could be Luke. It could be.
You know what I mean? But you always have.
Whoever the hero is in that current arc. And then.
You know what I mean? If we're dragging the Masonic. I mean, besides. Right. Who's going to be your three? You know?
Well, you could. Let's think of what he had to over. So I would say Grand Moff Tarkin would be one of them. Probably the first ruffian. He was Peter Cushing, right? Peter Cushing?
I think it was Peter Cushing, yes.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Grand Moff Tarkin, the original one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was...
Is it Peter, or am I getting...
No, I think you're right.
Him and... I always get him and the guy that played Dooku's name confused because they both played Dracula.
I don't think it was Peter Cushing who played Dooku.
Yeah, there you go, Peter
Grand
Cushing.
Moff Tarkin. Yeah.
So mm-hmm. He was the main... Vader was kind of a sidebar villain in the first movie. So you got Tarkin, you've got potentially you have Vader in the second movie as the second ruffian, and ultimately you have probably have the Emperor.
The Emperor as the third.
And Chris
third.
B says Boba Fett.
But then who are the other two? Bosk and Dengar?
I think Boba Fett's more of a
he was more of a nemesis for Solo than
yeah, exactly. Than he was Luke. The antagonist for
It depends
Solo.
On who I mean if you go on if you go on Han here, I'm gonna dive deep into you. If you go as Han Solo's initiation into the Masonic Order,
mm-hmm.
which he didn't become a Jedi, I know, but I'm just saying. So he had Boba Fett, he had Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah, those were his.
And I'm sure there was somebody else. You could go Beckett in the Solo movie. So you can go that route with Boba Fett. I don't know that he directly would relate to Luke's journey, though.
So I'm going to go a little different. And I'm going to take it from this route. And I'm going to primarily go with the Return of the Jedi. And the reason being is because you had three, in a sense, at least this is my opinion, you had three ruffians in there. Number one would be, I mean, you could go to Jabba the Hutt, and then you can go the Emperor and Vader. Mm-hmm. Or in the very end of the movie of Return of the Jedi, you had basically Luke was there being tempted.
By the dark side.
By the dark side, which is where if you want to compare it to Hiram, give me the word. Give me the word. Give us the word. You know what I mean? And they were trying to force him.
But in our story, he never lost his nerve.
You have failed, your highness. I am Jedi, like my father before me.
And this is why I think the Masonic story has been dubbed down. There's no way, and I'm gonna use some foul language here, so if you have kids, cover your ears.
We decided not to use foul language.
Hear me out, okay? We're all parents, right?
Just throw the word crap in there instead. Yeah.
How many times you had one kid be like, can I get some candy? No. And then the second kid's up, can I get some candy? No. By the time you get to the third kid, and they're like, can I get some candy? You're like, no, get away from me.
I can honestly say I don't think that's ever happened to Ken and
I. Yeah, I don't think that's happened to me.
But you've had people.
Usually the other kid will look at the first kid, and if the kid asks for candy, he'll just be like, yeah, okay.
I'm just making a point that there's no way
that Hiram, who's being threatened by three people, didn't lose his shit at some point and get angry.
I mean,
well, yeah, because he's yelling at the, I cannot and will not.
Yeah.
Thank you. Leave me the frig alone.
But the story says
that's where I was going with it.
The story, as we've heard it, as we retell it, says that he was never tempted to give up the.
Right, but he might
have. No, but he might have been pissed off because he keeps getting bothered.
First,
he's like, child, go sit down. You'll get it when I'm ready to get it.
Bro.
He might have struck down some younglings during the course of that. I could see that.
So, and the reason why I bring this up is because, you know, I think there was the three ruffians would be, at least in the Star Wars, the last one you could surmise would be the Emperor, Vader, and Luke himself.
Because he's his own ruffian.
Because he's wrestling with himself. Because you in that movie, in the end there, you see where he is being tempted, and he's like, shit.
That's like dancing with yourself?
You know what I mean? Yeah.
That's like dancing with yourself.
You get what I'm saying, though? Are you picking up?
Dancing with myself.
Yes, but there's actually, so I'll go real deep cut for the real nerds out there that have watched the Clone Wars and Season 6, the lost episodes that originally did not air but now are available on YouTube.
Oh.
Yoda goes through a trial where he meets, in essence, it's almost like the Odyssey in a way, where he meets this group that kind of resembles the Sirens. Then he goes through, and I forget who else he meets, but then finally there's is it Darth Nihilus or Darth Bane? I think it's Darth Bane that he meets at the end that gives him like his final trial. So it's kind of a cool episode. And now that I'm thinking back, there's definitely some correlations through his journey and his temptation. And I believe he meets with three groups. I'll have to go back and rewatch that. But it's Season 6, one of the lost episodes, one of the very last episodes that initially never aired.
You know the walking through the tree, like Luke, when he's on Dagobah, he has to go through that tree, and like inside the cave tree, there's like a Darth Vader replica there that he kind of contends with, and it ends up being his face. Mm. That happens in a couple different movies.
What's in the cave? Okay, what you bring with you?
Yeah, it's just like
interesting because
those areas that are like strong with the dark side of the Force have to have some kind of parallel, I think.
And I think that was more symbolic to the Chamber of Reflection.
Yeah, because there's some self-reflection.
Only what you bring in with you.
It's only what's
right, what you bring in with
you. Kelly Blankenship, going back on the Mandalorian thing, he says, but they remain loyal to themselves and they have their own creed and obligations, yet they collaborate and share knowledge with others. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like a whole other warrior order.
Yeah. We'll have to explore that What's the proper pronunciation? Hashashin?
Hashashin, yes. Yeah. Which is where you get the hashish from.
And you get assassin.
Yep.
Because they were, in part of the story is they were, the Hashashins were stoned out of their mind in order for to get them to go and do all the brutal assassination shit that they did. One of their targets, believe it or not, was actually Saladin himself.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Anyways, that was a story about the berserkers too. The berserkers ate like it's not ersatz. I always want to say ersatz, but it's Shrooms. Something else. But it's like something in the bread, and it's Shrooms. Like some. Yeah, it's more like.
Is it like the wild yeast in the bread?
Yeah. Like, well, no, it like made some kind of mold. It
oh, okay.
Was,
yeah, yeah.
It
yeah.
was. It was like having. It was like eating psilocybin mushrooms. It was like a hallucinogen, and it made them go all crazy. I don't know.
Hence the name berserkers.
Hence the name berserkers.
Anyway. What do you think? How did we do?
Quick update. I'm beating Jim Devaney 116 to 65 right now with a 98% chance of winning.
Ken can't put points up. I'm in like in the 80s with brother Joe G here. It's ugly.
It's going to be a lot of teams tied. It's going to be a mad dash to the playoffs.
Yeah. I'm actually projected to win, which is amazing.
George, you're actually catching up a bit.
Look at us.
Woo!
Can we do that? Are we going to get sued for that?
No, I think we're fine. It's a jingle.
Who the hell's a Pao Chili?
I think it's Perry Bartovic.
Dick.
Yeah. He keeps changing his name just to mess with you, so it's got to be him.
Anyway.
He doesn't
listen. I think we beat this one with a dead horse.
Yeah, we're going to have to do that part two of the Mandalorians and the Hashashin.
Yeah, I like this.
Mandalorians, I think, would be very similar to the Hashashin. They were an assassin group, which, if you're going to go Mandalorian, they were the bounty hunters, which Hashashin is basically the same thing.
They were, in essence, mercenaries. Correct?
Mercenaries, yeah. They were freelance assassins, basically.
Yeah.
It's actually where you get the derivative of the word assassin came from, Hashashin.
Does that mean I'm going to have to go out and buy another mask?
Yeah. Actually, I think I'm just going to wear remember that game on PlayStation Hitman where he had like the black tie, the white shirt, and the white.
Yeah,
the
bald guy. Wasn't that like your profile picture for a while?
It was.
Yeah, I remember.
I don't know. That's,
really?
I can't imagine why you get banned.
I think that's where we had the whole,
where'd you dig that from?
I think that's when we had the whole.
Circa 2008?
No, because I think that was right around the time that we had the whole pipe bomb incident. That was your.
Really? Oh, yes.
That's right. Yeah. Or no, like knowledge bomb. Or
yeah.
Truth
no,
bomb.
It was. Started off as it was pipe bomb, shut that shit down.
I think we settled on truth bomb.
Yeah.
We still got to do the Judge Judy.
It was like the injection one. What the hell was it?
Speaking of bombs, how about that chili?
What?
Nothing.
Which chili?
Any chili.
No, your chili's good.
What you mean? Because your chili bombed?
Are we talking about Perry's team now again? Yeah, I'm confused.
No, I'm talking about how here. Joe lost to Chile, so his Chile bombed.
They cheated. Strike me down now, and you will only make me more powerful.
Joseph Schultz, I never knew a Chile cook-off could scar, man.
I mean, it doesn't take much.
Actually, we can go Rage Against the Chile. How I could just kill a man.
You like that one? Pretty good. Have you guys had a chili cook-off at Morningstar in
a
while?
Okay. No, because I will blackball it in that shit right on its spot because I hate chili cook-offs. No.
Maybe we should have a clam bake.
Now you're just being naughty. Now you're just making men mad.
We're not going to open that can of worms. That's something you can find about in Discord if you want to know about it. Very nicely done. With that being said, let's shut this down.
Right at the hour mark, too. Well done, Joe.
Let's shut this shit down. Thanks for all tuning in for the Freemasons Podcast. I'm Worshipful Brother George Mudry signing off.
Worshipful Brother Joe signing off.
And Worshipful Brother Ken signing off.
Have a good night, everyone.
This is not the podcast you're looking for.
God bless.